Hello, dear friends. I hope you recognize that theme song, because if you do, that means you are a return listener, a consistent listener to this broadcast. Let's talk about Jesus right here on WMAF. I'm Pastor Evangelist Robert A. Venable, and we are so glad that you have joined us today. And if you're a first-time listener, we invite you to stay tuned as we get ready to gather around the Word of God and hear in our heart what the Spirit says to us. The Holy Spirit, hallelujah, amen. He's here today too, and Jesus is with us today. I don't mean in person here sitting beside me. I mean living within me. He's a lot closer than sitting beside me today. And if you're a Christian, He's living in you as well. Praise God. And I believe He wants to speak to us through His Word today. So we just believe that mighty things are going to occur as God's Word goes forth. And we just are so excited and happy to be with you today. We're beginning a brand new subject this week. And I'm going to go ahead and announce it because I'm excited about it. Praise God. Amen. Receiving God's promises. That's what we're talking about. Receiving God's promises. I just want to stop right here and say something very personal and precise about this subject. Can you imagine what it would be like if every child of God, and if you're a Christian, including you, what it would be like, including me, what it would be like if all of the promises of God were realized in our lives? Can you imagine the victory? Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine, amen, the witness and the glory that we would bring to God? Can you imagine how convincing our testimony would be to the gainsaying world if all of the promises that God has made to us, all of the provisions He has stored up and the promises to grant them to us, if we had them all claimed and all of them realized in our life? I'm telling you, I'm excited about this. I want to receive the promises of God that I might bring glory to His person. Praise God. Amen and amen. You know, the Bible literally said the promises of God are yea and amen to them that believeth. And what we want to do is begin to build our faith to receive the promises of God, that we might live in a victory that will bring glory and honor to Him and blessing to others. And by the way, if you're not a Christian today, God has given you a promise that if you would come to Him by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, repent of your sins and call upon His name, He promised to save you, to deliver you, and set you free. Praise God. So you stay tuned today. Don't exempt yourself from this teaching today, because that promise can be yours before this broadcast is over with. Hallelujah. Not only will your life change, but so will your destiny, your eternal destiny. God is so gracious today. We're so glad to be with you. Amen. I'm going to announce our website. If you would like to come, you're welcome. Just type in THCOG, and it will take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates. There is about 4 decades of ministry represented in sermon material and teaching, recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus. There are Bible helps. There is great music on our blog website. There's Twitter. There's podcasts. And all of it is free, no strings attached, because we want to be a blessing to you, and we want to get the gospel to everyone who will hear it. Amen. I believe there's a twofold vision here that is being realized. We want to reach people that don't know Christ, and we want to encourage people that do know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So if you know the Lord, stay tuned and be encouraged. If you don't know the Lord, Stay tuned and let's see what God does in your heart and your life as we gather around His precious Word. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 through 34. Listen carefully. And what more shall I say then? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. I want to say that again, obtained promises. Stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. One of the essential ingredients in all of this victory is that they obtained promises. One translation says, a paraphrase, received what God had promised them. I've told you the humorous story about a pastor going to visit a new family at their home. The mother told her 5-year-old daughter, go get that book off the coffee table that we all love so much. She came back in smiling, carrying a Sears catalog. I grew up in the 50s. Like most poor families, catalogs were called wish books. We looked longingly at pictures of things that we could not hope to obtain. The Bible is a promise book. The Old Testament and the New Testament are full of the promises of God. And one of Satan's greatest weapons against God's people is to cause us to doubt God's promises. He wants us to treat God's Word found in the Bible as a wish book, something we long for and desperately need, but in reality do not ever hope to obtain. So I want to bring you a teaching today from the Word of God that we might build our faith in His Word and therefore His promises, and really what we're going to talk about today. We want to build our faith in His person first, that we might obtain the promises. It's not just faith in the promise, but faith in the person who made it. Praise God. You know, the Bible said that God cannot lie. It's not that He chooses not to. In Him, there's no darkness at all. There's no variance, neither a shadow of turning. Hath He not said it? And will He not do it and bring it to pass? Hallelujah. When God speaks, praise the Lord. It's not like anyone else's word. Praise God. This is a holy God. And the Bible said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will abide forever. Praise God. So receiving God's promises are essential to our victory. Jesus is the promised Messiah. Canaan is the promised land. The disciples were told to wait for the promise of the Father that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised paradise to the penitent thief on the cross. Christ promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And when you read a declaration in the Word of God, here's the first principle of faith to obtain promises. Receive the promise in hope. Now the Bible said that hope literally is so vital to our faith. Faith is literally the substance of things hoped for. So in my understanding of that scripture in Hebrews 11, hope precedes faith. Literally, faith reaches out into what we already anticipate and believe for. It's believing for that we've already anticipated in hope. Hope is the confident expectation of future good. Take God at His word and cultivate a spirit of expectancy. Listen to Romans 4:16, and let's just read down through verse 22. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be made sure to all the seed, not only that which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calls those things not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, for he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Praise God. He said, you know something? Once I take hold of God's promise, I don't consider the circumstance or the possibility or impossibility of the circumstance. Once God gave me a promise, I'm 100 years old. He promised me a child. And through that child, successive generations, a mighty, wonderful family of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's still continuing to our day. Praise the Lord. He said, I don't consider the fact that I'm 100. I'm past the age of siring a child. And Sarah, my wife, is past the age of conceiving and bearing a child. But the Bible said, just because of those impossible, we got to stop right here. The Bible said the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. So when God makes a promise, he is capable of overruling the natural order of things. He can overrule, override to keep his promise. And he's known for overruling and overriding, amen, in order to keep his promises. So Abraham said, considering who made the promise, he's able to raise the dead. If he can do that, he can do anything. Praise God. Amen. He can cause my wife and I to have a family at 100 and 100 years for him and about 90 for Sarah. And he considered not his own body. He considered one thing, the God who had made the promise. Praise the Lord. I like that old commentary, Jamieson, Fawcett, and Brown. He said of this scripture, when no ground for hope appeared, he believed in hope. That is, he cherished the believing expectation. Matthew Henry's commentary puts it this way, all arguments of sense, reason, and experience were against him. He believed solely in God's sufficiency. Praise God. Listen very carefully today. The arguments of sense, reason, and experience are strong arguments. And when you add to them Satan's lying suggestions, a giant of doubt will arise against you and me. We need to go to God's word and hang on. Don't give in and never give up. Abraham did not consider the circumstances. He focused squarely on God and the promise that he had made to him. If we are to against hope believe in hope, we must become childlike in this area of our Father's promises. You know, the longer I live, the more experience I have of living out this word in my life and serving this great King and this wonderful God and this sweet, sweet Savior, Jesus. The longer I live, the more childlike I find that my faith has to become. You say, oh, Brother Venable, now, well, you need to grow up. You need to grow out of that. Not in the area of my faith, I don't. Not in the area of my faith. Because the great faith is always in a childlike dependence upon God, taking Him at His word, because He is my Heavenly Father, and He is such a mighty and great God. Two little girls were playing together, and one said, let's count our pennies. The one counted and said, I have five. The other put down the same number of pennies and said, I have 10. The first girl protested and said, you have the same number that I do. I know, said the girl, but my daddy promised he would give me 5 more when he came home from work, so I have 10. She was counting what was promised to her, for she had faith to believe that she already possessed what was promised. This is how people need to trust God. We need to believe that what He promised is, as far as God is concerned, already ours, and we need simply to accept that promise in faith and stand on the Word. Remember that song, Standing on the Promises of God. What would happen today if we could stand on every promise of God, so that God who promised, and by the way, when God makes a promise, He's not a man that He should lie. Amen. Hallelujah. When God makes a promise, the Bible said He watches over His word to perform it. He's a stickler for that. His integrity is tied to His faithfulness to keep His promises. Praise the Lord. In the old covenant, He made a covenant with Abraham, and He said, I'm going to keep that covenant to 1,000 generations. I'm not going to break my promise. Praise God. God is a promise-keeping God. Hallelujah. He does not lie because He cannot lie. He calls the things not as though they were, because He is absolutely faithful. There's no shadow of turning on His part. Therefore, I want to submit to you today that hope is crucial to victory. No matter what the circumstances, fill your heart and mind with God's Word and cultivate a spirit of hope. Literally, expect God to act. Expect God to move. And wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles. The Bible said they will run and not be weary. And they will walk and they will not faint. The scripture went on to say that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of scripture, we might have hope. Praise God. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I just believe that the beginning of standing on the promise, of receiving the promise, is getting a spirit of expectancy, ascribing to God the kind of integrity that no one possesses like He does. See, we choose not to lie. We have to overcome the darkness and the temptation that is part of living in this fallen world in a faulty body. But I want to tell you something. The Bible said that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. The Bible says in Him there's no darkness at all. We choose not to lie. God cannot lie because there's no darkness in Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we need that spirit of expectancy. We need to expect God to act because He has promised us in His Word. Amen. So we need to receive the promise in hope, and we need to accept the promise in hope. Expect God to act, and then we need to stand upon the Word and claim the promise by faith. Amen. Cultivate a spirit of boldness. God's Word is true. God cannot lie. Satan is no match for God. Circumstances are no obstacle for the mighty Spirit of God. God's absolute faithfulness and absolute power to overrule and overcome any force or circumstance is our basis for bold faith in His promises. Hebrews chapter 11, we've heard about Abraham, but let's hear about Sarah for a moment. Hebrews 11 and verse 11 says, through faith, Sarah also herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Wait a minute, before I go any further, you got to understand that this was a twofold supernatural victory here, because Sarah was barren when she was a young woman. She could never bear children. And now, amen, she is long past the age of childbearing. So not only was she previously barren in her youth and couldn't have children, now she's past the age of childbearing, even if she could have children. But she received strength to conceive and was delivered of a child when she was past age. They tell us her age was somewhere around 90 years of age. Why? Because she judged Him faithful who had promised. Praise God. She judged Him faithful who had promised. There's a real key here. Standing on the promise is not just reading the promise itself. It's something you know about Him. Hallelujah. It's something you know about God and His integrity. Praise God. She judged Him faithful who had promised, and that's how she obtained the promise. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. I like this. It said, because of faith also Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child, even when she was long past the age for it, because she considered God, who had given her the promise, to be reliable and trustworthy and true to His Word. I like that. Reliable and trustworthy and true to His Word. Praise God. Hallelujah. Faith is emboldened by accepting God's Word as the final and absolute authority. Bible promises, said C.H. Spurgeon, are checks drawn on heaven's bank that we endorse with faith and present to God for payment. I want to read that again. I don't know. Do you have on your shouting shoes today? I hope you got on your shouting shoes, because I'm telling you, this is shouting ground that we are standing on. C.H. Spurgeon said, Bible promises are checks drawn on heaven's bank that we endorse with faith and present to God for payment. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hebrews 10 and verse 35 said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Hallelujah. One translator said of this, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which hath great reward. Confidence sometimes is translated boldness, and it's one of those great words of the Bible, and is the chief characteristic of all those who truly believe Him. It means conspicuous courage in the face of adversity. Confidence is Job declaring, though he slay me, yet will I serve Him. It's Paul saying, and Paul and Silas rather singing praises in prison. It's the apostle standing on board a sinking ship and saying, I believe God. It's shouting by faith against seemingly impregnable walls of Jericho. Hallelujah. And watching them fall, it's David shouting to Goliath, I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. It's Jehoshaphat, singers of praise, extolling God in the face of a fierce allied army bent on their destruction, and seeing that mighty army decimated. Hallelujah. Accept the promise in hope, but stand on the promise in faith, because you believe the person who made the promise. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's something else we're going to talk about next week, but right now I want to stop for just a little while and ponder what it would be like. You know, the scripture said, whereby are given unto us as Christians, as believers, exceeding great and precious promises. Why did God make these promises? It's to stimulate us to be filled with hope and by faith to reach out to take hold of that promise, so that God might keep that promise to us. And through the keeping of the promise, not only help and heal and deliver us, protect us and provide for us, but bring glory and honor to His mighty name and distinguish Himself from the gods who are no gods. I want victory. I'll be honest with you, because I don't like pain. I don't like pressure. I don't like defeat. I don't like bondage. I want victory, but I don't want it just for my comfort nor my convenience. I want it to bring honor to my God, to distinguish Him. Praise God. You know, He said every god that man has made, every idol He's raised up, He said they have eyes that see not, ears that hear not, hands that will not reach out and touch and move and help. But God said, I'm different. Amen. The eyes of the Lord is upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. And He said, my hand's not short that it cannot save. The only thing separating me from moving and answering prayer and helping you is your sin. And when that sin issue is resolved, nothing is holding God back but our doubt and unbelief. And friend of mine, I want you to know, demons can't stop Him. Circumstances can't stop Him. And if we begin to receive His promise by faith, nothing can stop Almighty God from glorifying His name in the deliverance and help of His people. Praise God. I need His help today, and I want to bring honor to Him. So I'm standing on the promises of God. And today, friend, I want you to know that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, God promised that if you would come to Him by faith in the finished work of Jesus, repent of your sins, that He would deliver you, that He will save you, that He will forgive every sin. Hallelujah! He'll seal you with the Holy Spirit. He will change you from the inside out. There's no chain He cannot and will not break. He promised it in His Word. Call on Jesus today. Receive Him as your Savior. He will bust you out of prison, praise God, and you will go free. Call upon Him today. And today, if you're a Christian, you're bound by a habit you can't seem to break, you're in a circumstance you can't seem to take, God has promised to come through for you. Get in His Word. Stand on His promise. Hallelujah, and walk in His victory. God loves you today. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.